brother. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. Well, it's a joy to be at the Linwood Baptist Church tonight, and I'm glad there's still a church that is alive and doing well. Amen. And you can still go to church in the middle of a pandemic. Say amen right there. You can't close the church of the living God. Amen. We never opened it. He opened it, and we can't close it. And it don't matter what the Pope or Pelosi says. God said, there'll be bread in my house. And so I want to invite you to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 11. And I told the preacher, I said, man, I prayed and prayed and prayed. And I looked at about 10,000 sermons. And then God said, this is the one. So I want to preach tonight out of the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. God's last message goes out from that book of Revelation. And you might be here tonight. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. This could be the last call for you to come and receive Jesus Christ. I want you to know the greatest day of my life was when I came to Christ. Can I get a witness right there? Why don't you just shout, amen? And we ought to give Him glory that He passed by us in our lowest estate. And God came to where we was at when we couldn't come to where He was at. And God had mercy and He saved us. Amen. Amen. So I want to say again, if you've never been born again, tonight could be your night. Amen. Revelation chapter number 11. And I want you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, infallible, and His inspired word. Let me just say to Brother Alverson, thank you for having me and my family to come to Linwood Baptist. It's an honor. It's an absolute honor. And to be in the presence of this great church. I love being in the church where the amens are just wide open. Amen. And I feel right at home in this place. I was in a church Sunday morning. They stood up and said, preacher, could I just say a word? And a little quivering voice said, I just want to thank God. He's been so good to me. And I mean a holy rumble of praise began to run across that church there at Bible Baptist. Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 1. John said, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Can you imagine that holy scene? John is in the midst of a tribulation that is going on. He's been exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he's watching the judgment of God being poured out on this world. God seems to call a pause and said, John, I want you to take a picture and I want you to measure the worship that's going on down at the temple there. Verse number 2, he said, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city they shall tread underfoot 42 months. I want to preach tonight by the help of God on the revelation of the tribulation temple. The revelation of the tribulation temple. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we sure do thank you tonight for a place where we can come, a refuge from the storm. Our Father, tonight I pray that you would breathe upon this church, that you would breathe upon these people, God. I pray the breath of heaven would be upon your preacher and in these pews tonight. I pray, oh God, you'd give us unction that we might just see the glory of God tonight. Lord, thank you that there is grace even in the middle of a pandemic. So Lord, we pray that you'd help us. Would you save that one that's here tonight and lost? I pray that you'd send the Holy Ghost and bring them under conviction tonight. Help them to see, God, this is the very last day and they must be saved before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing and you may be seated. Let me just remind you in the book of Revelation, it is an amazing book. When you come to the book of Revelation, you'll find God's man, John the Beloved. He's been exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And right now, I feel like I'm on a Patmos and having been blindsided in the ministry, but I promise you I'm not the first one and I won't be the last one. And if they did it to David, if they did it to Paul, I got a feeling that devil's going to try to stir up some more before it's over. But I'm glad tonight I'm not bitter. And I know there's a God in heaven that knows how to move His people around. God took John and put him on the Isle of Patmos for a witness and the testimony of the Lord. I sure did appreciate these young women singing. They got the touch of God on them. Praise God for that. John is on the Isle of Patmos and he saw some things. I want to remind you that big things happen when you're in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When you come to the book of Revelation, you'll find God is writing a letter to those seven churches. And he's telling them, I'm coming quickly and you better get ready. And then you move into that book where he talks about that throne that was set in heaven. I preached out of Revelation 4. John said, and after this I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I preached on when the saints go marching in, will you be in that number? I'm glad there's coming a day, beloved. But beloved, when we're going to gather together for our last time, let me say, Linwood Baptist, there will be a service that will be our last service to gather together, to sing together, to worship together, to pray together, and to weep together. For one of these days, we're going to be heaven bound. And we'll be with the Lord. Did you know that on September the 9th, 2018, the New York Post ran a news article that said this, a red heifer was born in Israel. You say, what's the importance about a red heifer that's been born? That's a cow for us city folks, amen. I understand I'm out here in the country, but there might be some city slickers in here. But the Bible is talking about this revelation temple, tribulation temple. You say, what's the significance about a red cow that was born? God used the little ashes of a sacrificed red heifer for the cleansing and sanctifying of his temple in the days gone by. You say, what about this temple? Did you know right now in Israel there is no temple? I mean, for nearly 2,000 years, Israel ceased to be a nation when Jesus predicted that that Roman army would come in and destroy them. Listen, this thing's always been about a temple. It's always been about worship. And you and I just need to get in on worship tonight because there's a good God. He wants to draw close to us tonight. Listen, for nearly 2,000 years, Israel ceased to be a nation. That means they had no homeland and they had no temple in which to meet with the Lord God Almighty. But on May 14, 1948, Israel became a nation again. And do you know what's been on their mind ever since May 14, 1948? Rebuilding a temple for them to meet with God. Listen, that temple, it was pictured in the Old Testament. It was a picture of that temple of the body of Christ that would come together and meet together under the sound of old time Holy Ghost preaching. I want you to notice tonight, for nearly 2,000 years, Israel ceased to be a nation. And then in 1948, in our lifetime, I know some of us maybe not be that old, but listen, we're living in exciting days. You and I are going to be alive, I believe, when that rapture takes place and that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rises first. Listen, Revelation 11 has been called one of the most difficult pieces of Scripture in all the Bible. But I want you to see some things tonight that God has shown me that is amazing. I want you to see tonight that God is talking about a temple where he would meet with his people. In the time of tribulation, we're living in a time of shutdown throughout the world where God has allowed a little bitty virus to shut the whole world down. And you know what's been going on? Everybody's been asking, preacher, when are we going to get back to normal? Preacher, when are we going to get back to normal? I want to tell you, I'm not for getting back to normal. Listen, the church is not a normal bunch. We're a supernatural bunch. And I believe God is looking for you and I that know him to get in our altars of prayer and begin to see that God is on the edge of bringing his children home. And we must be about our Father's business. You know, every time in the Bible God mentioned something that was going to happen, it has taken place. Well, I want to show you some things tonight here in Revelation 11, just verses 1 and 2. I want to preach tonight about this revelation of the tribulation temple. Notice in verse number 1, you have the remembrance of past temples. In verse number 1, and there was given unto me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God. Why, through this Bible, we have the remembrance of past temples. You know, it started in the book of Genesis. God wanted a relationship with man. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden. In the book of Exodus is where you find God saying to the people, he said to Moses, and let them bring me an offering. And then he said, and let them build me a sanctuary where I may dwell among them. I want to remind you tonight, church, there is a great big God in heaven that created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And God has a desire to tabernacle and dwell and fellowship with you and I. We see that mention of a tabernacle that Moses built there in the wilderness, that tent that was stretched out. Can you imagine you and me walking across those Judean hillsides, looking down in the valley? And down in the valley, there was a tent that was spread out, and it was a place of meeting. It began in Moses' day, a place where God might dwell among them and meet with his people. But then there was Solomon's temple. God moved out of that little tent into a stone building, a place where he would tabernacle. There was Solomon's temple. The Bible says in 1 Kings 6 and verse number 1, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, that he began to build the house of the Lord. You know, it was David's desire to build God a house. When David finally ascended to the throne there in Jerusalem, David was sitting there in his beautiful house, and he knew that the ark was dwelling behind those curtains. And David said to Nathan, it's just not right. Me sitting in this big fancy house, I'm going to build God a house. And Nathan said, no. God said, you're not going to build it, but he's going to let Solomon, your son, build a house. I want to tell you, this Bible's about worship, and it's about meeting with God. And so you see, in Solomon's day, there was Solomon's temple. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and the house that Solomon built, when it was building, it was built of stones made ready before it was brought thither, and so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. Can you imagine? It was the house made with a hush. I mean, they hammered and they sawed off sight. They brought them pieces in, set them in place. They had such holy respect and reverence for the house of God. I mean, there wasn't any dirty language. There wasn't any construction talk. I mean, it was all holiness and glory to the Lord. Solomon, when the Bible says it took 7 years to build that house, in verse 22 in 1 Kings says, and the whole house he overlaid with gold. You talk about a place of worship, buddy. Can you imagine Linwood Baptist Church with everything overlaid with gold? I mean, the steeple overlaid with gold, the mailbox overlaid with gold. I mean, it was a shining from sea to shining sea. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 6:38, tells us that Solomon's temple took 7 years to build. I just want you to say, you talk about a breathtaking place of wonder. You talk about a place where God came down and dwelt with his people, a place where the glory of God filled the temple. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, man, we ought to just get back to praying in the house of God. What happened when Solomon made an end of praying? Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. How would you have liked to have been standing on the outside when Solomon said, Lord, we just want to thank you. God, if it wasn't for you, we'd be lost and undone. God, we just want to give you praise, honor, and glory. And God, when we pray from this place to you in your place, would you look upon this place and would you bless us real good? And all of a sudden, the fire of the Lord came down. I want you to know, church, we've been missing it for many, many decades. I want you to know tonight, the glory of God is still real in the church house. The fire of God is still real in the church house. I'm telling you, I've been in services where sinners sat there and trembled because they knew they was in a holy place. I'm going to tell you, some of you are squirming right now because there's a holy God, and he knows you're wretched and undone, and your sins have found you out. Oh, but listen, Solomon's temple, I mean, it stood for 400 years until Nebuchadnezzar came in and destroyed that place. Listen, God sent a warning to Israel, said, you better come now, saith the Lord. You better repent and get right with God. Listen, I want to tell you tonight, God knows everything. And God said, I appreciate the beautiful house, but you're living wicked. And you want to know why I'm not meeting with you? God sent in the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians and they destroyed that temple. Moses' tabernacle, it decayed in the wilderness. Solomon's temple, it was destroyed. But then there was the remembrance of Zerubbabel's temple. After Israel was carried down into Babylon for 70 years, God put it in King Cyrus's heart to build another temple. And it's called in the history book, Zerubbabel's temple. It was built 70 years after Israel fell in Babylonian captivity. And the Bible talks about the old men wept and the young men shouted when they rebuilt that temple. There were some things that was missing in that Zerubbabel's temple. Now you hear me tonight. There were some things that was missing. It was different. It was missing the Ark of the Covenant. It was missing the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the two tablets of the law, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot of manna. It was missing the sacred fire. Listen, I want you to know tonight, I've been in churches where the old time power of God is missing. They played instead of praying, and there's no testimony, there's no breath of revival. But I want you to know, standing in the shadows, God is waiting on His people to repent and get right. And God is able to rush on the scene once again. Zerubbabel's temple was missing the ark. It was missing the sacred fire. It was missing the Shekinah glory of God. How many places are missing the old-fashioned holy worship of God? I'm telling you, when this young lady got up and sang, I said, praise God, the holy King of Israel just stepped into the place. And them two young ladies reared back and began to sing, I want you to know tonight, I believe heaven is standing at attention as His people begin to worship Him. It was missing the Holy Spirit, and it was missing that Urim and Thurim. And those were sacred stones used in getting answers from God. So you see, there was Moses' tabernacle. There was Solomon's temple. There was Zerubbabel's temple. And then there was Herod's temple. And you know, Jesus spoke about Herod's temple. And in Matthew 24, can you imagine those country boys coming out of the temple with the Son of God? Matthew 24, them country boys, them disciples, they walked out of the temple where Jesus just laid it down like it was. And they said, Lord, have you ever seen anything as beautiful as this in all of your life? And Jesus could have said, fellas, I designed it. This was my idea. And Jesus said, fellas, I hate to disappoint you and I hate to pop your bubble, but there's not going to be left here one stone that's not going to be thrown down upon another. He was prophesying about the Roman army that would come in and destroy him. I want you to know there was some amazing things about that prophecy. Daniel shares about a prince that would come in and the people of the prince that shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. I began to read about Herod's temple. It was the one standing in our Lord's day that the disciples said, man, looky here, looky here. And Jesus said, fellas, not one stone is going to be left, not thrown down upon another. I read that when the Romans stormed Jerusalem, there was 1.2 million Jews died, 600,000 people starved to death, and bodies were thrown over that wall. And Titus was that little prince that come leading the Roman army in. And I read that Titus had ordered the Roman army that the temple was not to be destroyed. You say, but it was. Yes, Titus ordered it not to be destroyed, but the history books reveal because the Jews would not surrender, that Roman army lit torches and threw them inside the temple, and it began to burn, and all of that gold began to seep down between the cracks. That's why that Roman army, they began pilfering through every crack and moving every stone, trying to grab every little bit of gold they could. Honey, if Jesus said it's going to happen, you better write it down. It's going to happen. Well, he began to talk about the remembrance of past temples. I could say a lot more, but I want you to see, second of all, the reality of present temples. If you go to Jerusalem today, you will search in vain and find no temple. A temple was a place where God met with His people. It is like this place, Linwood Baptist Church. Now I know this is just a building, and you can bulldoze this building. You can plow it down. You can burn every rock, every mortar, every timber. You can crush every brick, and honey, the church will still be alive and well. Why, we can meet out yonder under that oak tree. We can meet out yonder on the city square. Wouldn't that make them nervous? Those girls begin to sing about the holiness of God. And this old-time preacher get up and crack that Bible. Boy, that put Lafayette on notice right there. But the reality of the present temple, you go to Jerusalem today, there is no temple. There's no temple there. You know there's been one thing consuming the heart of every Jew since 1948? They've been praying, God, let us rebuild the temple. You know what? They missed the King of Glory when he came, but they know something about worship. When you go to Israel today, you'll find there is no temple, but you don't have to travel to Jerusalem to find God's temple. The New Testament declares, know ye not that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Can I just say today, God's temple today, it's not made of wood and stone. It's made of flesh and blood. It's built through Bible preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the gospel is preached in the ears and hearts of lost sinners and sinners believe and receive the gospel message, conversion takes place after conviction, and a new birth takes place. I've been in a lot of churches. I've been on the mission field. I was down in Cuba this past January. I didn't speak a lick of their Cubanese or their Spanishese, whatever it was. But I knew when I stepped inside the church building that I was with the family of God. There's just something about being around kin folks. You know what I'm saying? They're handshakers and huggers. And man, you can go to the Walmart. Nobody shakes your hand. Nobody's good to you except that little paid by the hour greeter. How you doing? You need some hand sanitizer. But when you come to the house of God, you'll meet somebody that's just got J-O-Y down deep in their soul. And they love God and they love God's people. I want to remind you the reality of the present temple. God lives in the heart of thousands of born-again believers. And does he live inside of you? Can you imagine Solomon? Listen, here's what the Bible says. Know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? Some of you don't read your Bible because it's dry. Some of you don't pray because you don't want to pray. Some of you don't go to church because you ain't interested. You know why? Because the Spirit of God does not live inside of you. But if you've ever tasted and seen that God is good, if you've ever got a drink from that fountain of living water, if you've ever tasted the bread from heaven that cometh down, honey, you'll want to read your Bible. I know there's some young people here tonight. You could be like that famous missionary C.T. Studd. He said, I want to live within an inch of hell's headquarters. I want to set up a rescue stop within an inch of hell. But did you know C.T. Studd almost missed the perfect will of God? C.T. Studd was a young man that was good at sports. He was a number one cricket player, and he almost missed the will of God, but a traveling preacher came through his hometown, had dinner at C.T.'s house, and that preacher wouldn't let little lost C.T. undone. He said, C.T., if you die today, you're going to heaven. He said, why, sure, my mom and dad is a Christian. I'm a Christian. He wouldn't let him go. He said, have you ever been born again, washed in the blood, convicted and converted from your sins? I'm going to tell you, there's a holy God that knows that you're lost. C.T. began to tremble and he fell on his knees and received Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Buddy, the clouds rolled back and he understood. Now all things were made clear, but he backslid. He became a national champion in sports. And he almost missed the will of God because he was chasing after worldly fame. But he surrendered and said, Lord, I'll carry the gospel for you. And he opened up many hearts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that you tonight? Are you lost and undone? Listen, the reality of this present temple. If any man defile the temple, God shall destroy it. Can you imagine when Solomon dedicated that temple? He prayed and God sent the fire down and the glory of the Lord. Have you ever been in a church where the glory of God was on? I mean, it was thick and God was passing through the house. Can you imagine us taking a sledgehammer out of Brother Jeff Alverson's truck and walking over to the temple and wham, whopping the side of that temple? You say, preacher, are you nuts? And we rear back, wham, we're destroying that temple. Well, God said, I'll destroy you. You say, I'd never do that to Linwood Baptist. What about this temple? What about those words that defile? What about those things you're looking at? What about those things you're hearing? Oh, is it any wonder we need revival in the house of God? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Oh, listen, I want you to know there's the reality of that present temple. My soul, It's 7:55. Well, we've got an hour and 5 minutes till the Virginian comes on. I got to press on. Amen. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Well, there's a lot of preaching right here. There was a holy Son of God that came down from heaven. He was nailed to a cross. Blood flowed out of his body. They placed upon him a crown of thorns. Come with me to bloody Calvary and be reminded about that holy tabernacle that came down to dwell among men. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. What you need to do tonight is look unto Calvary and live. For on that hill stood a fountain of flowing salvation, a river of cleansing blood that washes the guilt of sin away. I'm glad that blood plunges deeper than the deepest stain. That blood covers and cleanses the darkest stain, and God can save you. Listen, there's the remembrance of past temples. There's the reality of present temples. But let me give you the revelation of that future tabernacle. You say, preacher, I thought you was preaching about this tribulation temple. Here it is. He said, I want you to measure the temple of God. Right now, there is no temple for the Jews to worship in. They go to what is called the Wailing Wall. You ever heard of the Wailing Wall? You want to know what time it is prophetically? Just watch Israel. Did you know right now over in Israel, those Jews go every day and they go to what is left of Herod's temple. It's called the Wailing Wall. And did you know in that Wailing Wall, there are thousands of tiny little cracks? I mean, you go and there are thousands of tiny little cracks. And you know what's stuffed inside of them cracks? Little bitty pieces of paper called Jewish prayers. Then they'll pray and they'll say, Lord, let us build another temple and send the Messiah. They don't realize he's already come, but he's coming back. I just want you to see how close we are. Sit up on the edge of the seats and get ready, because he could come before I finish this message. Right now, they're waiting on Messiah to come. Inside those thousands of cracks are prayers. Here's one of the prayers that one of them little Jews prayed. They said, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the nations. May it be acceptable to thee, our God, and the God of our fathers, that the sanctuary be rebuilt speedily in our days. Why are those Jews over there? They're not interested in a vaccine for the chickenpox or the coronavirus. They're interested in rebuilding a temple for God's glory. Listen, Revelation 11 speaks of a future temple that's going to be built after the rapture during the tribulation. The scriptures point to a future temple. How else could the scriptures be fulfilled? 2 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul talked about the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Wow, what temple is that? They're going to have to build one. Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. There has to be a temple built for this to happen. And listen, I'm going to tell you, there has to be a temple for this to happen. What about the current location? Let me just give you the particulars. What about this future tribulation temple? It's going to be built. Listen, them Jews, they like to worship, man. They like to gather together. They like to pray together and sing together. Can you imagine them 12 tribes headed to Jerusalem saying, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Then David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why, they want to rebuild the temple so bad. But what about the current location? You know what's sitting right now where the temple is supposed to be? That Muslim Dome of the Rock. Well, how are they going to get them to move out so they can move in and rebuild? Well, I want you to know, is this Dome of the Rock going to be torn down? Many Bible scholars believe that the Antichrist, he's going to say, now why don't y'all knock it out? Why don't y'all get along one another? And he's going to let them build that temple right there. Well, what about the current limitations that Dome of the Rock is there? What about the current location? Aren't they going to have to move that Dome of the Rock? It's standing right there. Did you know that Hebrew scholars have figured out that the current location of that Dome of the Rock, that the real temple actually sits about 100 yards off of that center. That when God built that temple, He had it built just perfectly. And they say the key to finding out the true location of the real temple is finding the Eastern Gate. Because when you find the Eastern Gate, it makes a beeline. If this was the Eastern Gate, it makes a beeline straight up to the Mount of Olives. And do you know who's coming down on the Mount of Olives? The same one that went up from the Mount of Olives. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up for you shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go up into the heavens." Why, He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk right down across the Kidron Valley, come in that Eastern Gate there. Did you know that the Muslims and Arabs have even planted a cemetery out there? Because they know the Jews won't defile themselves by going through the dead. Let me just give you some highlights right here, because this is good stuff right here. I'm going to tell you tonight, I had to write it down. I couldn't remember it all. But listen, they say the key to finding the true location is the Eastern Gate. And you know that Eastern Gate's been sealed up. It's been locked up tight. And the Muslims have tried two times to open it up. And God said, "No, it ain't time." Well, what about the correct specifications? For the new temple to be built, there must be, number one, the ashes of the red heifer. According to the Jewish Mishnah, now listen real close tonight, there's only been 9 red heifers that have ever been offered from the time of Moses until the destruction of the temple in A.D. 70. 9 red heifers. You mean there hasn't been a red heifer born since that temple was destroyed? Well, I don't know. If there would have been, the Jews wouldn't have been able to sacrifice it. But do you know right now they are ready? They're ready for the rebuilding of the temple. Have you not heard the news? They have found the cornerstone. Have you not heard about this heifer that has been born? And right now, Jewish rabbis have set that little red cow aside, and they're making sure that there's not one little gray or white hair on it that would disqualify. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" I'm going to tell you that sacrifice had to be perfect. It is a picture of the Son of God who came down from heaven. He died in a place that you and I couldn't go. He was the perfect sacrifice. He's the one that has all power to wash your sins away. Why, there's the specifications of that red heifer. I read that a rabbi said, in truth, the fate of the entire world depends on this red heifer, for God has ordained that its ashes alone are the single missing ingredient for the reinstatement of biblical purity thereafter and the rebuilding of the holy temple. My. Let me just hasten on. I got to give you that you got to have the specifications of a red heifer. Then there's got to be the specification of the holy anointing oil. Do you know that while they've been searching and praying and checking out this red heifer, they have found the holy anointing oil that they used in the last tabernacle? It has been preserved after 2,000 years of burial. They found it in a 3-foot hole that was filled with palm leaves and covered with fibers, and a little small stone plugged the top spout. Listen, that oil was special. You can read about it in Exodus 30. This particular oil was used to purify the temple, to purify the high priest and the Ark of the Covenant that's missing. Why, them two witnesses that are coming in Revelation 11. It is believed that Elijah and Moses, it is believed that Moses is going to be that one. Watch out, he's the one that ordained. He's the one that got the Aaronic priest set aside. They believe Moses is going to come back. Israel's going to say, "Is it really you, Moses? What are you doing here?" And he says, "I'm coming back to reinstate and to ordain sacrifice to go on, because there is a lamb that's coming back." Well, there's the specifications of a red heifer, the holy anointing oil, and then the specification of the priesthood. Can't just any old Baptist preacher be the priest over there. I mean, you got a good one coming Sunday night. You got a good one that stands here Sunday after Sunday. But us rednecks, we don't qualify. You got to be of the Levite crew. Amen. Well, how in the world are they going to find out who is qualified to be a priest in the temple? Did you know we've got technology that can trace your DNA? You don't have to go on eHarmony or whatever to trace your spiritual roots. You got DNA. and they've already identified that Levitical priesthood. Right now, they've already got them set aside. They're training them, and they're preparing them. This is how close we are. And here we are sitting around going, when are we going to get back to normal again? Praise God. We better not get back to normal again. We better get back to, dear God, you're coming soon. Crank us up. Send us out and send a revival. Well, then there's the missing Ark of the Covenant. You got to have that. And did you know it's been hidden? The last time the ark was mentioned was in 2 Chronicles 35:3, and said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. Listen, God told little Josiah, before the enemy comes in, you need to put that ark in a special house. That house in Hebrew, it literally means a special shelter in the inward parts. They knew the enemy was coming, and so they took that ark and they hid it. But did you know, let me skip right on, in April of 1992, a little Jewish rabbi by the name of Rabbi Getz said that they discovered a hidden passageway under that Dome of the Rock, under the Temple Mount, and they discovered the Eastern Gate that has been blocked up for years. And they looked, and they knew that down the hall was something shimmering, and they was afraid to look on that holy ark. And so him and this other Jew, you can look it up on the History Channel. You can Google it and find out this is real. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. I'm not just preaching, I'm telling you the truth. They were so afraid to look on that holy piece of furniture, they stuck a mirror around the corner. And they saw the ark down that hallway. And the Jews, they came out to talk about it. And one of the guys that was there, he dropped dead. God said, not yet. Don't you go spreading it yet. Well, word has spread. They found the ark. Listen, they've got the cornerstone. They've got the red heifer. You say, preacher, what else? I just want to remind you, the Lord is coming soon. He's coming soon. What about the current preparations? Did you know right now they're training those priests for temple service? Right now they're remaking the temple vessels. Right now there is blueprints already drawn for that tribulation temple. Right now they're preparing the clothing worn by the high priest. Right now the priestly garments are being prepared, and those sacrifices and incense and spices and shovels and urns and the carts are being prepared, and that golden laver and the measuring cups, it's all being prepared right now. Well, what about us? We're already going to be in heaven. Why, I hope we're just leaning over the banisters of heaven going, oh, that's what that old preacher preached about. Boy, I wish I'd have believed him, because it wasn't long after that the Son of God came back and rescued us, took us out of this coronavirus world. I should have told my neighbor, I should have told my son and my daughter, and now they're going through hell by the acre of the Antichrist. Look at us, we're up in heaven. Everything that preacher said, let me go a little further, everything that Bible said, it literally is happening. The revelation of the tribulation temple. Would you just bow your head for just a moment? Have you been born again? I mean, you've been washed in the blood. Have